Hey y'all, it's Justine Mentor from Mentor Management. I'm an LA-based dance choreographer and educator turned career coach, and I'm all about inspiring, motivating, and educating professional dancers. I'm so excited to bring you Dance Careers Unfiltered, where we chat about the nitty-gritty behind the business side of the entertainment industry, the stuff that people don't know they need to know. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Dance Careers Unfiltered. Today's guest is Miller Dari, ex-pro dancer who quit at 19, returned to dance 25 years later, and is now documenting the whole thing online. Miller has been garnering a lot of attention online for his candid videos about the dance industry in LA. So we talked a lot about what it was like for him to return to dance, both physically and emotionally, the biggest changes he's noticed in the industry, and the ever-evolving state of class culture here in LA. Please welcome Miller.
Hi.
Hey there.
I'm so excited to talk with you. Why don't you just start by introducing yourself quickly, and then we'll just like jump right in since it's so fast today.
Here. Yeah, of course. So I am from LA, maybe not like the common artist you hear about who might be a transplant, born and raised here. And I got into dancing not super young, maybe at 14. It's just, I always kind of goofed around and danced around. It was always part of my blood. I'd be at the grocery store, I don't know, moving around, and some stranger walks by and will say, "Hey, you know, you move really well," or something. It's just kind of always a part of me. And so this one time I was at a restaurant doing something probably similar, and this family walked over and they were like, "Where do you take classes?" And I'm like, "What? I don't take classes." And they said, "Oh, wow, you should, you know, you're good. And our kids go to Debbie Reynolds' studio. It's here in the Valley, and you should take from this teacher." And I probably was really afraid, honestly, as a boy growing up, of like stereotypes and being called names and whatnot, to actually officially jump into dance class. I think that I always wanted to, but that was the catalyst. That's how it started. And in a couple of years, all of a sudden, I'm working professionally. I was on Star Search with my sister. We were a dance team. I don't know if your listeners know, but that was like in the day, I don't know, the American Idol or whatever of its time of talent shows. Yeah. And we did great, got all the way to the finals in our category. So top two of the whole season for teen dancers. And then it just kind of snowballed for a couple of years. I booked quite a few professional jobs. I won this big award for dance in California, and then just decided to stop. I quit. And I was really also at the same time really passionate about acting, and decided like longevity wise, it made sense in my young brain, always thinking way ahead, you know, where am I going to have longevity long term? And so I decided to go into acting, and I kind of walked away from dance. I don't think it was a hard, like a black and white decision. I just slowly just transitioned out of it and decided decades later, it was just always kind of on the mind. Is it possible to go back to, not even just for me with dance, but just for anybody, is it possible to go back to something you were once really good at? And can you be good at that thing again? And that thing for me is dance. And a couple of years ago, I decided to pick it back up and jump back in. Then there was the pandemic, so it kind of stopped. And that's what I've been doing. Three decades later, I'm back to dancing.
Wow. This seems like a good place as any to remind you of some of the freebies I offer and how to find them. You can find my latest Reels cheat sheet, super great for planning out your reel shoot or just some video content creation, at justinementor.com/reels. I also offer a free class on my concept of the digital dance bag, which is an approach to organizing your online submissions for any kind of job. And of course, you can always jump into a free 20-minute one-on-one consultation that you can find at justinementor.com/shop. Also, brand spanking new, if you're an avid listener of the podcast, I finally have a way you can support more than you already do by becoming a podcast producer. For $5 a month, fans of Dance Careers Unfiltered who want to support, make a production impact, and get their voices heard can visit justinementor.com/podcast to learn more. Back to the episode. I know I've been following your journey, maybe not quite since the beginning, but like kind of in the beginning before you kind of blew up on Instagram.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah. And so it's really cool to watch that and see what's going on. And I've been curious to kind of chat with you. So I'm glad this opportunity came up for you to like, for us to have a conversation.
Me too.
Because I saw that you were like, the reason how I even found you is because initially you were listening to the podcast and mm-hmm. You had posted something about an episode and I was like, mm-hmm. oh, cool. Like, and so I just started following and then seeing what you're doing. And then I knew that you were going to be releasing the YouTube episode. So mm-hmm. tell me about the decision to document it. So it wasn't just like, oh, I'm going to get back and dance. It was like, oh, I'm going to like put this out there for people to see and like what that process was like.
I think as a creative, I am always thinking of ways to hone in on, I don't know, my skills, my abilities to put things, content out into the world. And since the advent of YouTube and even just social media in general, having been an actor and depending on agents and all of that, you know, you don't have to anymore. You can do it yourself, which is why I was an early settler on YouTube back, I think, in 2007. And I think,
same.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. What was your thing on YouTube back then?
I was just posting like my class videos, you know, from the back of the room.
Yes.
Standing up with the flip cam. Yeah.
So was that even a thing? Like as far as phones in class and filming back then, it was kind of because...
It was, but we mm-hmm. filmed from the back of the room. So you would get the whole class in there. Like if you go back and you watch some of the early videos from that time, because I was here 2007. Mm-hmm. You see people standing up at the edge, like in the back. You'd stand up on a chair, like if you were the teacher. And then I was teaching classes over at IDA, which has since closed. But we used to stand in the back and it wasn't cinematic yet. Mm-hmm. And then some videos started coming out probably 2010-ish. And mm-hmm. that kind of started changing it with, you know, Tim Milgram and his style.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. So that's fascinating to me. And that's something we can talk about too, as far as cameras and all that in the class. So for me, kind of, you know, stepping away from acting and then getting into screenwriting and then getting into YouTube and then getting into voiceover. And there's just so many different elements. And it so just kind of became, oh, I want to put all my eggs in the dance basket, because in my heart of hearts, long before I even started this, I was like, if this is really going to be a thing, it has to be full time. I don't want to get back and just do like, you know, step touch. I want to be hardcore training. I want to be with the teenagers. I want to be doing those pirouettes and jumps and all the things. Yeah. And so my mind was like, this has potential to inspire others and I better be documenting it along the way. And that's really how that was born.
Yeah, it makes sense. You wanted people to kind of grasp onto what you're doing. And yeah, that totally makes sense and be inspired. And it seems like that has happened.
Yeah, it really does seem to be resonating. It's only been out in the world like under 5 months, I think. And it has grown, you know, relatively decently quickly on Instagram.
Yeah.
I get messages. It's just the loveliest thing. And it really touches my heart.
I didn't
really know what to anticipate. I currently have an injury. So it's just an interesting time for me that my stuff is out in the world while I am injured. So what it did was for me is it forced me to go in a certain trajectory with my social media, because while I only have so much dance content already in the can, I haven't even shown all of it, but most of it, you know, you cut clips, you make things creative, you make things different. Yeah. That said, my YouTube, which is where the docuseries lives, you know, sequentially, in order, full episodes, you really can get the true journey on YouTube the most.
Right.
That features a lot and was intended to feature a lot of the struggle and my observations and me. Like my thoughts immediately post class, I knew that there might be something there, but I didn't really anticipate I would be putting that stuff on Instagram because of my injury. I'm like, well, I need content. So I just started throwing things up there that I don't think intend to really put up on the socials, if you will. And that is the stuff that is just really resonating. And I just get messages from people all the time. I just, today alone, like, I'm in Brazil, I'm in here, and I'm 50 plus, and oh my God, what you're saying is so true. I resonate. Class has changed so much. Nobody is saying this stuff. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, so this is what I had hoped, I guess, would happen on some level.
Absolutely. And what have you been like, I'm sure there's been a lot of lessons, a lot of things, but what are your like top two like biggest takeaways from returning to dance? Not necessarily the journey documenting it, but like the physical journey back.
Is that one, I know there's that quote, like your body keeps the score, your body remembers. And for me, the keeping of the score I know can often have to do with like trauma, even from, you know, your youth and whatnot, and your body always remembers. For me, it's more about the fact that your muscle has this memory and dance just boom, just came right back to me. Not mm-hmm. learning choreography and all that stuff, because that has, right. you know, that's a thing that's evolved. That's a practice and repetition. Yeah, but I would say like, oh, wow, I can do this. I can keep up. Just the blessings and the gratitude that my body, you know, is holding up. And yeah.
I love that. And I love like your body remembered what like your love and like what was in there already. And like your brain, like just was like sending those signals down to your body being like, uh-huh, yeah, we got this. Mm-hmm. We're right there.
Yeah.
Wow. And what about like within the journey of documenting it? Because I know you said you pivoted a little bit because of the injury. So you're mm-hmm. doing more like observational type content, right?
Mm-hmm.
So has there been any like revelations with that or like aha moments happening with all of that?
As far as the journey in regard to just documenting?
In regards to how you have put it out in terms of like the content you're putting out. And yeah, like in YouTube and Instagram and all the ways that you're putting it out. What have you learned from that process?
So consistency is the number one, like most important thing. Like you need to show up on social media. I know maybe it sounds cliche or something, but showing up every single day. And I think I have now 160 plus posts at the time that you and I are talking, and that's consecutive. That's every single day. And yeah. there is just something about showing up to myself. And in that, it's inspiring others, it seems. Yeah.
So what's that process like for you? Do you bulk create your stuff and then time it out? Are you doing it every day? Do you have a schedule? Like, do you plan it super far in advance? Like, what's your process like in terms of your posting and et cetera?
I think like anything else, it is about repetition and you get faster at doing it. I have some days where I batch the content. So I try to get, I don't know, 5 to 7 reels maybe done in a day so that mm-hmm. I don't have to think about it moving forward. That said, that's a little bit ambitious and I don't always get there and you get preoccupied yeah. and you get busy. And the beautiful thing is that when I first posted, I was petrified and I had all this anxiety around it.
Yeah.
Now, like anything else, it's just like, okay, it's another day. Oh my gosh, I've got only 45 minutes to create a reel. Okay. And then I just make yeah, it happen.
Let's
so
go.
Yeah, let's go. And you find the things that, you know, make it work for you. There's a couple websites, for example, I don't look at them so much right now, but it'll be like, you know, trending Instagram audios and whatever that is.
Right.
And then you kind of learn moving forward, like, oh, that stuff's actually already built in, you know, to yeah. Instagram for creators. And I just kind of trial and error. And it's been, yeah, it's a lot faster now.
Yeah. I noticed that for myself in the beginning when I first started making reels. I mean, I've been on a hiatus this summer, so we're not going to discuss that, but you know, I think it's okay to take breaks.
Yes.
And it's necessary, honestly.
And that's what I've done actually with my YouTube. Cause my YouTube for me is like, that's like my beast that actually, and I got to change my mindset around this. And I think that's an important mm-hmm. thing too, is the mindset around all these yeah. things, whether it's dance class or putting things up on social media. For me, my YouTube, that's the beast. That feels like work to me because it's a full on episode. It's combing through hours and hours of footage. And I was great. I had batched some of that content and I yeah. had like 5 or 6 weeks in a row, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And now I haven't posted in a little bit, but it's yeah. the most important part to me of what I'm doing is the YouTube stuff. So I'm yeah. excited to get back to it.
Amazing. Yeah. I noticed in the beginning of my journey too, like I was so nervous to put through. I'm like, what? I don't do that. That's silly. I'm pointing at things or doing a little dance or whatever it was. And I was like, this is so lame. I'm so not that person. I don't put myself out in that way. Like so many just like things I was just making up that were basically just holding me back from doing what I felt would be educational for people, you know? And so once I just kind of jumped in, like, you're so right. It's like, you don't have the confidence. You make the confidence by just doing it.
Just
so it's pretty, yeah, just showing up and like doing the damn thing, you know? Like, my first reel was like a 3 headshot dues, you know, or like took me forever, you know, because at the time too, this was in like 2020. The reels was like fairly new and the system wasn't as easy as it is now. There wasn't as much functionality. Like, you didn't have as many options on there. So like, for me, it was easier to go in and just like edit it on Premiere, because that's like what I use for other content and other like professional avenues. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to post this here. And then it was, then I was just getting in my head. But then once I did it, I was like, oh, I can do this. I got it. I see it a lot with my clients too, of like, I don't know what to post, or I just feel so uncomfortable. It's icky. I don't want to put myself out there. I'm like, it really doesn't have to be. It can be something else for you. It can be a tool for you, and you don't have to think of it in that way. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's just about hitting publish. I mean, if they want to do it and have some sort of reach on there, hopefully to that, it's not entirely self-serving, that it's for your, you know, your audience as well.
Right.
You just gotta show up. It's always the sort of, you know, the thing of, oh, the one I spent so much time on that I'm so proud of, that's like a Spielberg masterpiece, is the one that gets 5 views, and the ones you did it like so quick. And that's just kind of how it works. And if you just remember that, that's it. Just put it up and just let go of it.
I love that. So true. And then such a great reminder, because it's so easy to fall back into that, like, fear really of and paralysis, because you're like, what do I post? Is this perfect? Is this this? And then you just end up not doing it. That's what most of my clients end up telling me. They're just like, oh, I just give up, you know, like trying to figure out what the right thing is.
You know, I heard I don't know if it was Jerry Seinfeld, it was some sort of famous person / entrepreneur who did something every single day, and then had a calendar on the wall where they X'd every single day, Monday, Tuesday. And all of a sudden that wall calendar was just a whole bunch of X's with, you know, just a streak of X's. And that got them to not stop and to not show up that day, because they didn't want to have all of a sudden a blank space. And I feel like that for me is very much what's happening with my IG right now, is that I'm very consistent and I've got this streak going on, and it's this momentum. And that's what it's all about. Once you're in that place, it's fun. You just got to change, you know, the mindset around it. I admit, though, for me, like for dance class, that is something that I'm still working on. I still take it too seriously. It's hard for me to let go often. I know I talk about this often in my social stuff. It's definitely, that has been a journey and something that I don't think I anticipated.
Which part was that specifically?
Well, just that I would get in my head so much, you know, even just with the on-camera stuff, or forgetting choreography and having, honestly, like PTSD a little bit, like around, like I'd be in a couple of classes and be crushing the choreography, feeling very strong, and then called up to dance in a group, stand in front, people pushing me in front, even like, oh my God, I got to watch you. And then I just go up, like I totally forget. And it's not the kind of forget where it's like, you know, teachers will often say with dance, like, you just got to keep going and don't walk off that floor. But honestly, like, I don't know, like, what is your thought on this? What do you do if you're completely blank? Like, it's gone. Yeah. You can't bring it back. And then now you're thinking, oh, I might cause injury to people here because I cannot find the choreography. I may as well be in the middle of Target or something. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Because that is the thing.
I totally relate to that. That would happen to me in auditions, like when I was in the heyday of my dance auditioning days. And I don't audition as a dancer anymore. I just do like, I have a commercial rep. So I do that. But yeah, back in the day, I think it's like, it's the pressure. It's the adrenaline. It's just like a mix of so many things. And yeah, you would like blackout, you know, like you're like, you completely forget what you're doing. You freeze. And I think most of the time in those moments, I would just completely stop and I would try to improv my way out of it and not even go back into the choreography at all. So if this was at an audition, this didn't happen to me that much in class, but I do remember one specific interest in Luam's class. She came to LA and was teaching at the Edge, and I took her class, and I was just going for it because I had taken her class religiously in New York when I was an intern at BDC in college. And I took her class all the time and always wanted to get called out and never did. And I always thought I was like really doing well at a Greg and never got called out. She came to LA. I was in the class. She calls me out.
Oh my
gosh. I know. I was like, yes, finally I'm recognized, you know? And I go up and I mess up the choreography. And I was like, oh my God, like years have pent up, like whatever. So that part was a mess up, and in a class that I do remember very specifically, but it was more like I probably just stopped for a minute and like gathered my thoughts and got back into the choreography. Mm-hmm. There's other auditions that I can think of specifically that I blacked out in. One was for like Bring It On 5 or something, one of those. And I completely blacked out and stopped. And I was just like, okay, improv the rest of the time. And and just smiled and knew that it was like not great. And then just kind of got through it somehow.
Mm-hmm. You think it's just sort of
a little humility. I don't know.
Yeah. So obviously there's like that situation with that teacher who you had this pent up thing from New York and then LA, there's this sort of like, you want to impress on some level, I guess.
Right.
And it's like performance and it's all the things. And it is really complicated. Sometimes I've been in class where I don't feel anything in the sense of like, I'm not stressed. I don't feel fear. I feel so confident. And that's to me when it's the scariest, when I'm like, why? Like, why did that happen? So I think it's just about continuing to show up. So yeah, that's, I think I definitely got better with that. And I think it's just more about experience. The more classes I'm in that are shut down early for filming. And that's an interesting thing for me too. Sometimes it's like the fancy filming when the lights go up and the videographer is in the room.
Right.
Sometimes I'm actually better in that scenario versus the choreographer just whipping out an iPhone and surprising us with like a quick filming that I didn't expect. And then my eye sees the phone and I'm like, oh, look, that's a phone. Oops, choreography's gone.
You're like distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it comes out of nowhere. So what percentage of the classes that you take are on camera?
Well, it's interesting because when I began in 2022, truly this, you know, the really intense return to dance, I took at Millennium and I did their certificate program, which I was in for about 4 months. So I took 10 to 12 classes at Millennium a week. And I think that they are probably the most well-known studio globally, maybe period, but also when it comes to classes being filmed. So that was a lot of my experience. And I had to sort of navigate my way through that schedule, their schedule for teachers where filming wasn't as much of a thing.
Right.
And I found some great classes in both scenarios. And then when I finished that program, that is when I discovered a lot of other studios around town that were just not at all on my radar, where filming was not really a thing. And that resonated more with me. So I think it's about where you go and what you want. I could only take 100% classes that are on camera if I wanted to. And I could take classes that are not at all. And just the last 5 minutes, a couple of students might take out their cell phone and put it, you know, below the mirror and film.
Yeah,
it
like
time.
Lay it on by the wall. Yeah, yeah. I know it's really interesting how much class culture has changed. Mm-hmm. Like I always said, like Edge in 2007, and I know there's people that have been here longer taking classes, but in my experience, you know, it was in the back of the room. And then YouTube really took off a lot. And so there was filming happening really the whole time I've been here, but then it became more and more cinematic.
Mm.
And then socials became more and more popular. So I would find, even as a teacher, a real discomfort, really, if I have to be honest, in like calling the best people out in the room, because I was feeling the pressure to capture the best choreography I could so that I could post it and get the most, you know, attention that I needed to get in order to feel like I needed that in order to work and be and have clout. And but also feeling like, as a true educator, that I felt like that was really the wrong thing to do, because class isn't a performance. It's supposed to be about learning, and everybody in that room has the same, should have the same opportunity to soak up what they need from that class. So I felt really conflicted when I was teaching at the professional studios, of like this kind of like need to fit in with what everyone else was doing, but also like really trying to teach, you know, and really trying to soak up. An hour class is really short.
It's really short.
You want to warm people up properly. You know, I mostly teach jazz or jazz funk. So like, I'm really trying to make sure that they're warm so they can do any technique that they need to do. And it just goes so fast. So to take like 20, 30 minutes at the end, I'm like, what? No, I don't have time for that. So I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts about all of that stuff. And
yeah, same.
I'm not in class anymore, really. Like, and I wouldn't want to do that. Like, I would want to go somewhere where they were not filming if I went in.
Yeah.
So,
you teaching like a lot right now also, or is your, what you're doing, not as much teaching, but more educating?
Yeah, I'm not really teaching a lot of like industry or professional people at the moment. I mean, I do the convention circuit. So I've been on the same convention for 10 years. So I do that, which is like pre-professional dancers. You know, it's not like they're not serious, but it's just different. And then sometimes I teach for Loom dance training. So that's also most, some professional dancers there. I used to be at AMDA. I'm still there every now and then. Like I went in last week to do an open house or whatever, but I'm not there as regularly. So I'm not doing, and I'm not like at one of the professional studios regularly. I just not in that phase right now to do that. So mostly, I guess, education, and then obviously my business that I, that I function. So I don't know. It's definitely different in the kid world, because I'm not like putting them on film that much, but like if I have a bomb class, then yeah, I'm going to post, I'll post the choreography of that. But
hopefully there's just, hopefully it's just, you know, very candid in the sense of full disclosure. This is what you're in for in the class. Hopefully I've seen since I've been posting my stuff, not that I'm saying that, you know, I'm having a huge role in this or whatever, but I've, starting to see maybe just once things are out there more, then it just kind of has this ripple effect. And I'm seeing a lot of choreographers who I follow now really for the first time advertise when class is filmed, and class will be filmed at the end or whatever. And I think the student should really know before going in, because that is, I think, one of the trickiest things when you have no idea and you've done your work and you show up and then the class shuts down 30 minutes early to film, and you're losing a lot of time and, you know, hardcore, you know, hard money you spent for the class. And those other situations as well. This is obviously a very long topic, but it could be like when you show up to a class that has been doing the same choreography for 3 weeks in a row, and that third week is when they film. This is the kind of thing I love, knowing that a choreographer is going to get, you know, that combination in your blood. And then, you know, on that last week of teaching, 20 minutes to set aside, that's cool. But what if you're the student who walks in on that third time and you did not know? And that's happened to me many times as well. So these things, I think, need to be just put out there. And I feel the quandary from the choreographer's perspective too, because it is, it's become a business and a brand and social media. And this is how you sell your work, and you want to have your stuff living online. And you also want the best dancers giving your choreography the best representation. So why wouldn't you call them up? But then so many people are left out. It's a thing.
I know, it really is. And it's been going on for so long too, like all these issues. And so I'm so glad that we're chatting about it here.
Same.
I used to say it like years ago, I'd be like, the classes need to be labeled jazz funk on camera, heels on camera, you know, like actually from the studio side, not even just like from, I mean, this was before you could like really put out all your information on a minute to minute basis online. I think what you're saying is a great solution of like, put it out there to say, this is when I'm filming, this is how much of the class it's going to take up, here's what you can expect. So that way the people who are paying the same amount of money as everybody else know what they're getting into, know what the value is of what they are trying to put in.
Exactly. It's so funny. My brain right now went like, I wonder how far you can take it. Like, because I've taken jazz classes where there's a 5-minute warm up, And I'm taking jazz classes where there's a 30-minute warm-up, you know, which is actually what I prefer. Obviously, I want to feel like I'm ready to dance, but sometimes, and even it doesn't even matter the style as much. I mean, hip hop, you better be warm because you might get, you might hurt yourself. And literally, I've been in classes where there's a 2-minute maybe warm-up. Hey, everyone, do what your body needs. I'll give you a song. Exactly. Yeah. And it's maybe 90 seconds. And then I've been really afraid to dance. And even though I always come early, I make it a point to stretch beforehand. So I was just thinking, I wonder if even that can be included, you know, like that thorough on the app. Like, you can expect in this class X amount of minutes for a warm-up. You can expect, you know, some across the floor. You can expect, like, have a little bit of maybe structure.
Like a breakdown.
A breakdown. Yeah. That'd be so cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah. What if there was like a warm-up room in the studio where you could go in, and either there was like an instructor in there who like rotated and like doing things, or there was like a video or something, or just music in a room where you could go in and like get yourself warm. I don't know. I mean, that obviously involves like infrastructure, but that was one of my favorite things actually about the pandemic teaching, is that I would be teaching in the same room as my Peloton. And I would, before class, I would jump on the bike for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And just so I could get warm, because I knew that I wasn't going to have enough time to teach, and I was going to have a very confined space. So my physical limitations were much bigger than before. So yeah, I really liked that about the pandemic, because I had like the access to just like jump on my bike and do that, or, you know, otherwise I'm in the car for an hour and I drive to the studio or whatever it is, and then I'm not warm at all.
Yeah.
And as you know, as you get older, you need way more time for warmups.
Yeah, that's the irony right now of even me having an injury, because they're not dance related. They just seem so silly, because I have been so preventative and so safe this whole time, like taking it to a whole other level. But I know that the universe, for reasons I don't know yet, is serving me in this process.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I really enjoy talking with you, and I can't believe our time is up. I would love to continue the conversation. So whenever you want to come on, like, just hit me up and we'll figure something out so we can just get you on whenever.
And
are you starting your own thing, or possibly, or we're
my
not
own
gonna
podcast?
We're not going to put that on the public. Yeah.
Well, I love that you brought that up. Actually, I have been thinking about it. Like, I really have been. I love the whole podcast sphere. Been a podcast listener for a very long time. I actually bought a podcast course in 2016 to create your own podcast. So this has been part of, like, you know, my thinking for a while. And just with the traction with me and the dance stuff, I'd love to do a, I just need to figure out an angle exactly. But I love that you asked that, because for sure that's something that's in the works.
Yeah, that's fun. It's really fun. It's a great creative outlet. It is way more work than I thought it would be. But I also did not buy a course, and I was just like, oh, I'm gonna do a podcast, and I just like figured it out as I went along. So that, maybe don't recommend that, but sounds like you have your ducks in a row a little bit more than me, so I'm sure
a little bit with it. A little bit. That said, it is for sure a lot of work. I know that, so that's probably slightly a factor into why I've, you know, held out a bit, but I'm excited to jump in.
Tell everyone how they can find you online.
Oh, yes. My handle is pretty much the same all the places. It's Back to Great, one word, Back to Great. And YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. And yeah, if you really want to get a full understanding of the journey, like full episodes, I would say go to YouTube. And that's, I'm really passionate about the YouTube stuff. And Instagram is definitely... it's just become beautiful. There's just a lovely support system on there, reaching out like to dancers all around the world. I'm proud of what's happening with that. So if anybody wants to check that out, I would be honored.
Amazing. Well, you're very genuine and passionate, and I'm excited to continue watching where this goes.
That's so nice. And thank you so much. It means a lot to me.
Thank you so much for joining me, for real.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to check out mentor.management on Insta and justinementor.com/mentormanagement. That's MNTRMGMT. check out the show notes to find links to my offerings and today's guest. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show. See you next time.